This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
To the Row One Seat One podcast. This is Ben, aka Boston Nuga. Been a busy couple weeks for wrestling, more on the mainstream level than independent wrestling, though we had some really good independent shows in Chicago about a week and a half ago with Black Label Pro running and GCW running and Freelance Underground running in Chicago just prior to All Out. But obviously, the headline is AEW All Out, which was a tremendous show. And then WWE kind of responding by retooling NXT with a bunch of tall people. So if you get a chance to see NXT this week, you'll notice that everyone was very, very tall, which was something. Sure was something. I don't know about WWE anymore. Not really my thing, but NXT, it's fine. It's aggressively fine, and AEW is awesome. AEW is probably one of the best feds I've seen in a long, long, long time. And just really enjoy that show and really enjoy independent wrestling. And we're going to have an independent wrestler on the show coming up soon. His name is Aaron Wade. You guys may not have heard of him, but he's growing up in the Southeast right now. He's an interesting cat. I think that some of the responses to some of the questions you guys will hear are a little wild. And he's known as kind of a... he thinks different, and I wanted to get him on because his brain works a little different than the rest of us. So Aaron Wade will be on in a few minutes. Just want to talk about Place to Be Nation. Check out the store. Show off your favorite podcast logo and merchandise like T-shirts, hoodies, and more. Go to tpublic.com and type PTBW. Rate, review, and subscribe our shows. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Amazon Music. Just search Place to Be Wrestling Network. Our Quadapods, the pop experience, is all about pop culture. Jennifer Smith is always in the Jenny position with her takes on pop culture and life. JT Rosero, Aaron George, and Chad Campbell have shows on wrestling, comics, and more with a North-South Connection feed. And Glenn and Scott Butler are on their journey through music, films, and more with a Non-Toxic Fanboys podcast. They have nontoxicfanboys.com and at nontoxicfanboys on Twitter. Join our discussion group on Facebook, Place to Be. Look it up. Request an invite. Discussions and fun with wrestling, movies, tournaments, and forms of pop culture. Our stretch project is the greatest NWA WCW wrestler of all time. His name is Alex Wright. Go to facebook.com/GWCW. Join the group to discuss nominees. Go to Place Me Nation every day. We have new voices and fresh takes bringing you articles and topics in the world of wrestling, sports, and pop culture. And if you're shopping on Amazon, click on the banner on the right side of Place Me Nation's homepage or click on placemenation.com/Amazon. Takes you right to Amazon and helps us out with no cost to you. Coming up on the show now, an enigma. He's certainly a person who his brain is fascinating. I think you guys will get a kick out of this show. His name is Aaron Wade. He's a Chattanooga-based wrestler, and enjoy the show. We are here with one of the up-and-coming talents in the Southeast. This is Aaron Wade. Aaron. Been meaning to have you on the show for a while. You are not only a great wrestling talent, but a very fascinating person. Mm. And someone I've seen, God, since you were in high school, basically. And it's been really cool to see you come up and improve and find your character and see you just really develop as a wrestler and as a person. And, you know, we're just honestly, like, I'll just start out by saying this podcast, I'm really proud of you, man.
Thank you, Ben Zaney.
How did the love affair with wrestling start? How did wrestling become a thing in your life?
So I had this friend back in we were friends for probably since elementary school, I would say, and he his dad was a wrestler under I think Domino or Domination or something weird, and then he had a stepdad that was also a wrestler, and he got me into wrestling around like 08-ish, I guess. I never really watched it, which this is kind of weird, but like I didn't think like wrestling, like the people that we like Jeff Hardy, Undertaker, Mysterio, people like that, I didn't think they were real people. I kind of thought they were kind of like, you know how comic book characters, like superheroes.
Yeah.
So I didn't think they were real. And so I was like, okay, this is cool. You know, I'd go to his house. He'd have like Jeff Hardy, you know, like No Way Out. It was doing No Way Out, No Mercy, where he's like in the electric chair and he's upside down and he's screaming. He had that on his wall. I thought, oh, that's pretty cool. And then I started watching wrestling around like 2011, which my first Raw was The Rock's birthday, I believe.
Oh, cool.
And I did this like big celebration for him. And so like, that was how I got into it, and that, like, I was like addicted ever since. And it's been a part of my life for about 10 years now.
You legitimately didn't think they were real people.
Yeah. I told Jaden that, and he's like, what? Like, that's interesting. I was like, yeah.
That's wild. That's absolutely wild. So, so you also played sports in school too. Now, and then we're going to talk about something else that's been a big part of your life in martial arts. But you actually took the route of being an amateur wrestler for a while. What lessons did amateur wrestling teach you?
So I started amateur wrestling in the eighth grade, and I wanted to do it like prior, but I couldn't. I had martial arts and stuff that got in the way. But I started in eighth grade, and I wasn't very good. And, like, I lost every match. And when I got to high school...
You were a jobber.
Yeah, I was a job guy in eighth grade. I made everyone look good. But when I got to high school, I started again. Like, I lost a few, but then, like, when I won my first match, I was like, oh, this feels good. So I won, like, periodically throughout my ninth grade year. And they taught me, like, a little bit, like, you know, some chain wrestling I can use during chain, like, in pro wrestling, which is cool. And I enjoyed it. I know we went to a state my freshman year, which was cool. We didn't win, but, you know, it's still something I can say I did. And then wrestled my eighth grade year, and I won a little bit. Tenth grade year, won a little bit, and after that, I was just like, I'm going to do pro wrestling, and I started training for that, and coach won't let us, he wouldn't let me, you know, go on the team or whatever.
He wouldn't let you go pro.
Yeah, like, I guess, he didn't really say it, per se, but he was just like, I kind of knew that, like, I couldn't tell him I was training, or he wouldn't let me on the team anymore. So I just stopped doing it. I was like, I just want to do pro wrestling.
Well, one thing that's been a major part of your life since childhood has been martial arts. Talk about your martial arts background and how that has shaped you as a man, as a person, as a you know, your sense of you know, discipline, your athletic abilities. You know, what meaning does martial arts have for you?
So I started martial arts in March of 2012. So I was 11. I was almost 12. So I was 11 years old, and I always wanted to do martial arts because I was like, oh, this is cool. Just like never really found a school. Like, I don't know, just never really found it yet. But like my friend was doing it, and so like he goes, oh yeah, there's a Taekwondo school in Fort Oglethorpe, Georgia, which is like 15 minutes from my house. So like I go there and I start, and I'm a kid, and like I'm like, this is pretty cool. And like, so I've been doing that for almost 10 years now, about 9, and it's really helped me like with my flexibility. Like I learned how to do a nip up from Taekwondo, and yeah, it's been a lot of fun. Like I got my first degree black belt in 2014, and pretty much never looked back. Cause like I've done like seminars under Master Hyeon Kim, which is a I think he's a ninth degree. He's like one of the founding fathers that brought Taekwondo to America. And like he's pretty cool. Like it's been a while since I've done one of his seminars, but like he's something. Like he knows his stuff for sure. But yeah, Taekwondo has been like a huge play in like my athleticism and like when my flexible ability. Didn't get that out. But yeah. It's been a huge help for like wrestling and stuff.
What did it teach you about, you know, discipline and governing your life?
So like every time I go to Taekwondo, we do this code of honor, like before we start the class. And I know when I started, my instructor set me down and my mom and told me that like Taekwondo isn't for like doing like showing off to your friends. It isn't for like beating up someone just because you can. It is like don't hurt anyone basically unless you like have to. Like don't use it on your mom, your pets, anybody unless you have to. Okay. That's legit what he said. And I remember that to this day. But it's made me humble, especially like in later years, because I just think how far I come in Taekwondo and like when I go there. Like, since I'm a fourth degree now, like, ever since I got my black belt, everyone calls me Mr. Smith. You know, it's kind of what they do now there. And I'm kind of like a vet there, I guess. I don't like to say I am, but like, I've been there for a while and people like to ask me questions or such. But it's been a huge help with like being humble and like respecting others.
Do you get to, like, do you have an opportunity to teach there as well? Like, do you kind of see yourself as someone who, you know, influences a younger generation in Taekwondo?
So, I would love to teach a class. Like, I've done, like, maybe one. There's this thing where you can earn an instructor. Like, you can become an instructor, and you get, like, a sweet gi that says, like, instructor on it, which is cool. And I want to do it. It's just, like, I don't really have time because you have to, like, be there and, like, I do a lot of traveling and wrestling. So, like, you have to, like, take a test, I believe, and then you have to, like, teach your own class without, like, help, sure. I guess.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, like, become an instructor. Like, it's cool, and I like to do it, but I've only taught, like, maybe one class. But I had help, though, so it wasn't, I guess, too bad, but, yeah.
So let's talk about your current love and your other love, and that's professional wrestling. You got in when you were, what, 16?
Yeah, I started training when I was 16.
Good Lord. And you started in Georgia, right?
Yes.
Talk about your first experiences. Was it something that was overwhelming at first or something that you dove into the deep end head first?
So I had this other friend. I had a lot of friends. that... He was also into wrestling as much as I was. And he got in contact with this guy named Matt Gilbert. And he started training. And so I was like, he told me about it. I was like, oh, man, I want to train so badly. Like, this is all I thought about. And it was, I want to say, my sophomore year. Like, near the end of my sophomore year. And he told me who he was, and so like I found him on Facebook, and I contacted him. I said, "Hey, my name's Wade. You know, I like to. I've been a wrestling fan for a while now. I mean, I heard you train. How much? Where are you located? You know, things like that." And he got back with me. I can't remember how much he said that the classes were. Maybe 20, 30, something like that. Maybe I can't really remember. But he's like, "Yeah, I'm located in Chatsworth, and I train twice a week. I think it was like Tuesdays and Thursdays." And it's like, oh, cool. I'm so excited. So I remember I was like really pumped. So like during lunch, we had an hour lunch. So I was able to do whatever I wanted. So I remember I called my parents. I was like, hey, you know, I really want to train. And at first they're like, oh, that's too far away, you know, things like that. I was like, oh, but come on, please. I want to train. And then so I finally talked my dad into it. So we went, my first training session, my friend was there, obviously, and I fell in love with it. I got to take my first bump, and it was great. I enjoyed it.
So you mentioned your parents. Now, you are very lucky in that you have parental support. Your father is a famous or infamous being for being a member of the Old Dog security crew at TWE, just a hell of a guy, just salt of the earth, great guy. Please send him my best. And what has it meant to have parental support, you know, in this journey, you know, especially as, you know, someone, you know, who came up very young in the business. Has that meant everything to you?
It does, man. Like, I mean, sometimes maybe it's just like being a son in me. I'll get like frustrated every now, like, Dad, stop. No, what are you doing? Things like that. And like Jaden and everyone gives me crap for it, which I love my dad and I love my mom. They're huge support. At first, my mom was kind of hesitant about it. I don't think she wanted me wrestling. I don't know. It was a weird thing. But my dad's always been all for it. And he's bought every shirt pretty much I came out with. He, for the most part, comes to every show that he can. And he's been a huge helping hand with, like, staying focused, not giving up, and just achieving what I love and doing what I love to do.
That's awesome. You're very blessed there. You're very, very blessed there. Now, you switched over your training after a little while to train with a very, very good friend of the program and a friend of all of ours, and Jaden Newman. What was the difference between the two types of training? How are things going under Jaden? Because you're still kind of, you know, you're still getting reps, you're still kind of training, you're still part of that crew there. How is training under Jaden?
So I started training under Jaden Newman when Matt Gilbert. He couldn't train me anymore. Like, he lost the building or something that we were training in,
mm-hmm.
or something happened there. And he took me in May of 2017 to Jaden up to, at TWE, and was like, you know, I can't train him anymore, things like that. And so, like, he basically dropped me off to Jaden. And I've learned, like, probably more than I would have learned from Matt if I would have stayed with Matt. And done a lot more. Because Jaden has connections. He knows people. Kerry Awful trained him, so he's taught us a lot of things Kerry knows. He's done a really well job with, like, training me and, like, Carson and other people that come in. I'm blessed that I, like, got to meet Jaden, especially at the age I was.
And Jaden is one of the more tremendous people I know. He's just a great guy, great trainer, great role model, and you're very, very lucky in that regard. Some of the things you got to do too is you got an opportunity, you know, with, you know, on your own too, and you know, with Jaden to travel a little bit. Now, let's talk about some of the promotions you've been in, you know, as a wrestler. Obviously, you know, you're Chattanooga based, you know, the local promotion here is TWE, and you really gained a foothold there and become a fan favorite there under your Baby Dragon character. And talk about the Baby Dragon character, because that's something you really come to embrace and you know, really come to embody. What is the Baby Dragon?
So at first I didn't like the Baby Dragon name. Like, I thought it was awful. But eventually grew on me. I was like, okay, this is pretty sick. I used to wrestle at the show in where was it? Athens, Georgia. Or Athens, Tennessee, one of the two, called Ego Pro, ran by a guy named Barry Allen. And I was there, and everyone was like, oh, yeah, you look like Brian Danielson, you know, with the beard and the hair and stuff. And I was like, I'm a huge Daniel Bryan fan, so I was like, okay, that's pretty sick. And so, you know, he's the American Dragon, so they're like, you know, you're Baby Dragon. I was like, I don't like that. I don't like the sound of that. I don't want to be called Baby. And so, like, eventually, like, that was 2019, I believe. And then eventually I had the name for about 2 years. And then eventually I was like, okay, it's kind of sticking. It's kind of growing on me. And it's been a thing ever since. I'm trying to, like, it's eventually going to evolve into something different, slowly but surely. But, yeah, it's, I guess, the origin of the Baby Dragon.
What is a Baby Dragon? Tell me what does it represent? Who is the character?
I think it's me, just bumped up to 11. Because whenever I go through that curtain, I leave anything like that's bugging me in my life, personal life, or anything that's going on, just in the back, and I just turn that up. Because if I go out there and I know I'm gonna give the fans something special and something that they paid to see.
Now, TWE, is that the promotion you consider home, or what do you consider the place you feel most comfortable?
Definitely TWE. TWE is my home.
And then you've also worked Action. You've worked SUP. You worked a match there. You worked, you mentioned Ego Pro. You've worked New South. In Alabama, you gained a foothold there, which is a really good up-and-coming promotion. And you even got a spot on the SCI Futures last year. For someone so young in the business, you've really been making marks, especially in the Southeast.
Yeah. It's crazy to think about. I made my New South debut about a year ago, and I didn't think I was going to become like a mainstay there, but eventually I did. And it's been crazy. And Action's been a show I've been wanting to get on. And I finally made my debut last year, back in December, I believe. And I was like, "Oh, this is crazy." Action is one of those shows that's like really, really good. Matt knows what he's doing when he puts that show together. And so it's been something I've been glad to be a part of.
Now, you mentioned Matt Griffin, the owner of Action Wrestling, and he's actually come up to TWE a bunch to help manage you. Has Matt been a big influence with you? Has he kind of taken you under his wing?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Matt, like, he'll have me in the corner, even though I'm nodding. He's, like, telling me some advice, and it's really good advice. So, like, I really appreciate Matt to be able to, like, be my manager and come out with me and support me. He's a good dude.
Does he give you advice out of the ring, too? Like, has he kind of been, like, you know, a career advisor as well?
Oh, yeah. Like, everyone likes to mess with me a lot, which is kind of the joke in the locker room. But he lets me know, give me some advice, like, especially with me, Rodia. Like, back in Tampa, when I went to Mania Week, I stayed with him and Dylan, and it's been awesome so far. Like, him just being around Matt, being around the people I am.
Yeah, you mentioned Dylan Hales, too. He seems to have an influence with you as well. He seems to be watching out for you also.
Yeah. Dylan considers us, like, all of his kids, which is cool. And it's really cool to be, like, as close to Dylan as I am. Like, especially someone that has, like, makes a living in wrestling, which is cool. And it's cool to be around Dylan. I like Dylan.
Dylan's a great guy. Now, one thing you also get a chance to do is you travel a fair amount for wrestling. We were talking a little bit earlier, and you said you actually even got a chance to go to Texas.
Yeah.
I mean, you seem like a guy who really enjoys the drives, and you seem like a guy who really enjoys the travel, and, you know, talking to people who travel with you, they always love to see you travel with you because you cut it up, and, you know, you make all the trips fun and stuff like that. I mean, talk about, you know, the love of travel and, you know, how much you enjoy that portion of the business.
I like traveling because, like, during the week when, like, I didn't wrestle this past weekend, just took, like, a week off because I got so many dates coming up that are pretty good, and so, like, I feel like I'm at home when I'm on the road with my friends. And we just, like, talk and just, it's a lot of fun. But back when I went to Texas my first year in the wrestling business. And at first I was, like, really, like, terrified because Texas is so far away. And we went to a show called Metroplex down there. And it was a fun show. I mean, I was still, like, really super, super, super green, and I was kind of like, okay, yeah, this is different. It's my first year, and, like, I'm wrestling in Texas now. This is cool. My first big trip, I guess, road trip in wrestling. And we stayed at Wade Hunt's parents. They own a B&B, so we stayed there, which was really nice. Like, he let us stay there. So I'm very fortunate for that.
Now, where are some places you'd like to wrestle coming up? Like, what's on the 1-year plan, the 5-year plan for Aaron Wade?
St. Louis Aeron could be a fun place to wrestle. That's on my list for sure.
That place is a blast. That's an awesome, fun time. I've been there a couple times, and it is like, it rules.
I've heard a lot of good things about it. And IDMA Mid-South is another one I've been wanting to be at, too.
Really?
Yeah, I've been wanting to go there for a while.
Well, we know some people, so, you know, you never know. You never know. Now, I want to get into some of the fun portion of this here. You're known as a bit of a cut up. You're known as someone who you know, has some funny answers to things. And I'm just going to ask you some. I'm going to start with some of the basic questions, and then kind of branch out from there. First of all, what does it mean to disrespect your surroundings, Aeron Wade?
Okay.
Tell the story about this.
Okay. So. We were on a trip. It was during Mania Week. I think we might have been on our way back from Tampa. And we might have been stuck in traffic or something. And Dylan Hills is sitting next to me. Or no, he might be sitting up front with Jaden. Matt's sitting next to me. And I said something. And then I said, hey, Dylan, do you ever disrespect your surroundings? And Dylan goes, what? Like, you know how Dylan does that thing where he takes off his glasses and he kind of just, like, puts his head in his arms and just kind of, like, rubs his forehead?
Yeah, a lot of us do that.
He did that, and he goes, what? Every time I hear him, I just hear him say that in his voice.
What do you mean by that? What was your motivation behind that statement, Wade?
I mean, like, you know, you disrespect
yourself. I don't know. That's what I'm asking.
But, like, I mean, if you go up to something and you punch like a tree, that's disrespecting your surroundings. Yeah. You know, it's how it works.
I do not know. That is not how these things generally work. Okay. So punching a tree is disrespecting your surroundings. For those who have asked the question, punching a tree is disrespecting your surroundings. Wade, where do we go when we die?
I'm a believer, like, I'm a Christian, so like, I'm a believer in heaven and hell and stuff, and so I believe in that, if you die, you either, I guess, go to hell, or you go to heaven. Well, there's, like, that void, I guess, that Nick Gage saw when he died, when it was, like, pitch black. So, yeah, I'm a believer in that stuff.
Because you heard about it from Nick Gage.
Yeah, I did, on Dark Side of the Ring, yeah. I heard about that.
What is the meaning of life?
Disrespect your surroundings. I guess being true to life, being you. Yeah, that sounds like a good answer.
Okay, cool. All right, I'm gonna get weird with it now. There was an author named Chuck Klosterman who was one of my favorite writers who ever lived. And he has the 23 questions you can ask at a party. I'm going to ask you a few, and they're a little out there, but I want you to give your immediate responses and spare no explanation whatsoever.
I'm ready, Benetti.
Okay. Let us assume a fully grown, completely healthy Clydesdale horse has his hooves shackled to the ground while he is held in place with a thick rope. He is conscious and standing upright, but completely immobile. And let us assume that for some reason, every political prisoner on Earth, as cited by Amnesty International, will be released from captivity if you can kick this horse to death in less than 20 minutes. You are allowed to wear steel-toed boots. Would you attempt to do this? Would you kick a horse to death to free every political prisoner on the planet?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
I've done some wild things. That's probably the most wildest. Yeah.
You would. Okay.
I did.
Let us assume there are two boxes on a table. In one box, there's a relatively normal turtle. In the other, Adolf Hitler's skull. You have to select one of these items for your home. If you select the turtle, you can't give it away. You have to keep it alive for 2 years. If either of these parameters are not yet, you'll be fined $1,000 by the state. If you select Hitler's skull, you're required to display it in a semi-prominent location in your living room for the same amount of time, but you'll be paid $120 a month for doing so. Display of the skull must be apolitical. which option do you select? Will you, do you have to keep a turtle alive for 2 years and risk being fined $1,000? Or will you display Hitler's skull and be paid $120 a month?
Oh, that's a good one. Let's see. See, if I get the turtle, I can also dress it up as a Ninja Turtle and kind of like have it displayed somewhere if it died.
But if it died, you're fined $1,000. Can you keep the turtle alive for 2 years?
So if I keep it alive for 2 years and it dies, am I still fined?
You have to keep it alive for 2 straight years or you're fined $1,000.
Okay. Whew. Okay, so and then if I display Hitler's skull, I'm paid $250?
$120 a month.
$120 a month, okay. Ooh, buddy. Okay. I gotta go with the Ninja Turtle. I wanna display the Ninja Turtle. But I gotta keep it alive for 2 years.
You have to keep it alive for 2 years, alright. Okay. Genetic engineers at Johns Hopkins University have developed a so-called super gorilla. Though the animal cannot speak, it has a sign language of over 12,000 words and an IQ of almost 85, most notably a vague sense of self-awareness. Oddly, the creature, who weighs 700 pounds, becomes fascinated by football. The gorilla aspires to play the game at its quickest level and develops the rudimentary skills of a defensive end. ESPN analyst Tom Jackson speculates the gorilla will be borderline unblockable and average 6 sacks a game. Although Jackson concedes the beast may be susceptible to counters and misdirection plays. The gorilla has made it clear he would never intentionally hurt any opponent. You are the commissioner of the NFL. Would you allow this gorilla to sign with the Oakland Raiders? Not the Las Vegas Raiders. 700-pound gorilla, has an IQ of 85, has developed football skills.
Yeah, I let him sign.
You let him sign?
Yeah.
All right. We're playing gorilla football now.
That's right.
Here's a good one. You meet your soulmate. However, there's a catch. Every 3 years, someone will break both of your soulmate's collarbones with a crescent wrench. There's only one way you can stop this from happening. You must swallow a pill that will make every song you hear for the rest of your life sound like it's being performed by the band Alice in Chains. Whenever you hear Creedence Clearwater Revival, it will sound to you like it's being played by Alice in Chains. If you see Radiohead Live, every one of the songs sounds like they'll be playing by Alice in Chains. When you hear a commercial jingle on TV, it will sound like Alice in Chains. If you sing to yourself in the shower, your voice will sound like deceased Alice in Chains vocalist Layne Staley performing a cappella, but it will only sound this way to you. Would you swallow the pill? So everything sounds like Alice in Chains, or they break your soulmate's collarbone with a crescent wrench. Every 3 years.
I let my soulmate's collarbone get broken. Why not? What's the worst that happens?
Okay. All right. Okay, here's a good one. At long last, someone invents the Dream VCR. This machine allows you to tape an entire evening's worth of your dreams, which you can then watch at your leisure. But the inventor of the Dream VCR will allow you to use the device if you agree to a strange caveat. When you watch your dreams, you must do so with your family and closest friends in the same room. They get to watch your dreams along with you. And if you don't agree to this, you can't use the Dream VCR. Would you still do this? So you can watch your dreams, but your friends and family have to be in the same room.
Oh, God. I wouldn't watch my dreams then. That would be... Oh, I have had some weird dreams. Oh. Yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't want to do the dream thing.
Okay, here's one. Defying all explanation, a group of Scottish marine biologists capture a live Loch Ness monster. In an unbelievable coincidence, a bear hunter shoots a Sasquatch in the thigh, allowing his biologists to take the furry monster into captivity. These events happen on the same afternoon. That evening, the president's announced that he may have thyroid cancer and will undergo a biopsy later that week. You are the front page editor of the New York Times. What is the biggest story? Sasquatch, Loch Ness Monster, or a president having thyroid cancer?
Hmm. Loch Ness Monster, or...
Sasquatch, or the president may have thyroid cancer.
Oh, that'd be cool. A Loch Ness Monster. I think that'd be pretty big.
You think the Loch Ness Monster would be pretty big?
Yeah. Yeah.
Hold on. Let's get another one here. You meet a wizard in downtown Chicago. The wizard tells you he can make you more attractive if you pay him money. When you ask how this process works, the wizard points to a random person on the street. You look at this random person. The wizard says, I will now make them a dollar more attractive. He waves his magic wand. Ostensibly, this person has not changed at all. As far as you can tell, nothing is different. But somehow, this person is suddenly a little more appealing. The tangible difference is invisible to the naked eye, but you can't deny this person is vaguely sexier. His wizard has a weird rule that you can only pay him once. You can't keep paying, giving him money until you're satisfied. You can only pay him one lump sum. How much cash do you give the wizard?
Would a dollar be good?
Just to just be $1 more attractive.
Yeah.
You just want to be $1 more attractive. That's all you want to be.
Well, let's see. I guess if I can look. How about $15 more attractive?
$15 more attractive. That's a specific number.
Yeah.
A very specific number.
Let's go $15 more attractive.
$15 more attractive.
Yeah.
Every person you've slept with is invited to a banquet where you're the guest of honor. No one will be in attendance except for you, the collection of former lovers, and the catering service. After the meal, you're asked to give a 15-minute speech to the assembly. What do you talk about?
So everyone I've slept with is invited to this party?
Yes, it's just you and everyone you've ever slept with, and you have to give a 15-minute speech.
Okay. I think I would tell the story about me having intercourse while watching TNA.
Do you want to retell that story? You can retell that story on this podcast if you want.
Oh, God. Oh. Yeah. Oh.
You can tell it G-rated if you want, but some people have heard it. You were watching TNA while mid-doing it?
Mid-doing it, and it was a Final Resolution 05. And it was the ultimate X match with Chris Sabin, Petey Williams, and AJ Styles. And AJ gets drop kicked while hanging from the cables, and he does an inside out bump. And I stopped and made her watch that spot because it was awesome, and I don't regret anything.
Okay. I'll finish with this one. For reasons that cannot be explained, cats can suddenly read at 12th grade level. They can't talk and they can't write, but they can read silently and comprehend the text. Many cats love this new skill because they have something to do all day when they lie around the house. However, a few cats become depressed because reading suddenly forces them to realize the limitations of their existence. And you know, not to mention the utter frustration of being unable to express themselves. This being the case, do you think the average cat would enjoy Garfield, or would cats find Garfield to be an insulting caricature?
I think they would enjoy Garfield.
You think they would enjoy Garfield?
Yeah. He doesn't like a cat that likes eating lasagna. Yeah.
You don't think it would be insulting?
Yeah, I don't think so. I think it'd be encouraging. Yeah.
All right, I'll do one more. You have won a prize. The prize has two options. You can choose either, but not both. The first option is a year in Europe with a monthly stipend of $2,000. The second option is 10 minutes on the moon. Which option do you select?
So I get $10 million for...
No, $2,000 a month and a year in Europe, or 10 minutes on the moon.
Oh, $2,000 a month or a year in Europe. That sounds awesome. I could wrestle there.
Where are you doing the moon? I can wrestle there.
I mean,
That's a good one to end this line of questioning with. Let's see what questions we've gotten from the audience. Hold on 1 second. Derek Neal just says, have him tell us a story. You've done that. Carson said, how did his best friend become so attractive? Goodness. What advice would you give to someone who wants to start becoming a training, become a professional wrestler?
I give the advice that someone gave me when I started wrestling. Leave the business.
Leave the business, okay. Do we want to tell the story about the kitten?
Oh, God.
Probably not.
If anyone wants to know that story, message me directly.
Message you directly.
And I will tell you.
Ask about Roman Reigns and Andre Dawson.
Roman Reigns and who?
Andre Dawson's a baseball player. I've been told to ask about your slides.
Oh, dear God. If anyone wants to know that story, message me directly.
All right, I'll give you a layup as the last one. Say that someone listening to this podcast has neither seen nor heard of a little television show called Cobra Kai. Sell it.
Okay, so Cobra Kai is the greatest show to ever be on television or Netflix or anything it streams on. It's the greatest show to be invented. It's the end-all, be-all. Anyone should thrive to want to be a part of this show. And it's... I started watching Cobra Kai probably about a year after it came out, and I was blown away. It's the greatest show.
Why? Sell it. Sell it. Sell it.
It takes... Okay, so anyone that's ever watched Cobra Kai, it takes place about 30 years after the original Karate Kid movie. And there's a lot of characters in that show that are amazing. And one of them is Hawk, and he has a red mohawk.
You're a big Hawk guy.
I am. I love Hawk. He's my favorite character.
Oh, okay. All right. Good to know. Hawk's pretty good.
Ray Fury actually said I remind him of Hawk, which it made me happy. And so Hawk, at first, he starts out being like this nerdy type of he's bullied. His real name is Eli Moskowitz. He's bullied. He's a nerd. He only has one friend. And then he joins Cobra Kai because Miguel was in it. And he goes, oh, I'll give it a try. So he joins. And then he has this like lip scar from like the surgery when he was born. And so he's bullied for that.
Like a cleft palate thing?
Yeah. And then when he gets to Cobra Kai, Johnny Lawrence makes fun of him, and then he leaves. And then I think maybe like the next episode or like the episode after that, he comes back in like a blue mohawk, and he reinvents himself as Hawk, and he gets this sweet tattoo of a hawk on his back, and it's awesome. He's the coolest character on the show.
We need to say where we're just like, Wade just retells movies or stories like the television programs. I think we just happened upon a new thing.
I mean, people are like politicking for me to do story time again. It's a thing that can happen again.
This is tremendous. Well, what dates do you have coming up? Tell people how they can see you, they can find you, they can book you. Get pluggy.
Let's see. Let's find my notes here. I write all my dates down, like upcoming shows. So this Saturday, me, Jaden, and Carson, and I think Sage Phillips is coming with us as well. We're riding down to Ignite Wrestling in Florida. So I get to debut for Ignite, and I'm excited for that. And I'm riding down with Billy Tipton to IWA Mid-South, which hopefully one day I can get on that show. That's a goal of mine. The 24th, I have Action. the 25th, I'm riding down with, I think, Pete Youngblood, Jaden Newman, and Kevin Koo to freelance in Chicago.
Cool.
So I'm super pumped for that. And then October 9th, TWE. October 15th, Action Wrestling. October 16th, I'm going with Graham, Carson, and a few others to Missouri. And October 23rd, TWE's Nightmare on Dayton Boulevard. That's going to be fun. October 24th, I'm going to SUP, which I always love going to SUP. SUP's a fun
SUP's
show
awesome.
To be at.
SUP's the best. And it'll be the first show back. That's going to be such a party.
Yeah. SUP's a great show. They don't have to use me, but I always love going there and helping out and stuff. It's always fun. I love the locker room.
Same.
November 13th, I have TWE. 27th, TWE. December 11th, TWE. And I should have some more dates coming in soon.
But well, how can people follow you and find you if they want to find these dates?
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Aaron Wade. That's E-R-R-O-N. Wade, W-A-D-E, all lowercase.
Cool. And then anything else you want to say before we sign off?
Cobra Kai is my favorite show. I love wrestling, and Taekwondo is great.
And disrespect your surroundings.
I approve this message.
Thank you so much. You've been great, man. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Ben Zaney. It's been fun.